Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. Stick around, listen up. It's going to be great. Hello, H-Town. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston. Today we're going to be talking to Miss Monica Melgar. I can't say her name as beautifully as she's going to. It's a sing-song name. And I'm really excited about that. We've had all kind of conflicts with our schedules, so she's finally gonna be here. So please listen up. You can also check out the Artist Talks every second Saturday, 12 to 5, on the YouTube channel Winter Street Studios has developed, and our new project of Rediscover Winter Artist Talks taking place every second Saturday, 11 to 12. Just meet on the dock and we'll find you there. Let's welcome Monica. Good.
Super happy.
Yes. We had a few scheduling conflicts, but we made it.
Yes.
So, I'm super glad you're here. What? And you're in Winter Street.
I am. I'm in Winter Street Studio C4, downstairs by the bathroom in a corner.
In a corner.
Where I belong.
Because you're a bad girl.
I am.
You're a bad girl.
I am.
No, you have you talk about that studio like that, but it's actually very nice.
It's
nice to be secluded like that because it's so difficult with distractions. Girl,
yes.
I keep my door open all the time, mostly because I have like a breeze, like a big breeze. And also in the summer, I'll suck in the air conditioning, so
right.
I have to run my own. But people visit the building for Photo Fest is going on right now. They're always meandering in here. We had some visitors this morning. You saw that. And I'm like, oh my God, distraction. And it's not like I'm going to be like, no, I'm no personality. Get out of here.
right.
I'll be like, hey, come in. Let me tell you how life's nice. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it is good to have a little, like you said, a little seclusion if needed. Because, yes, I do suffer a little bit of ADD here and there. Yeah. So, yeah, sometimes the less distractions I have for sure is better. Yeah. But other times, I welcome them.
But it's a very nice size.
Yeah.
And you participate in Second Saturdays?
I do, absolutely. That's my favorite thing.
Me too.
I really do. I like them because you never know. It's like sometimes I'll be like super prepared for like tons of people and tons of work. Uh-huh. And you get, crickets. And then other times I'm like, I just kind of walk in, super casual. And I get some people that I just strike up the best conversation, make the best connections, and I just walk out just
elated.
Like lit up. Yes. So I love Second Saturdays.
I do too.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, you don't have to put the work in.
No, absolutely, exactly. It's very no pressure.
You leave the studio filthy if you want to.
No, absolutely. Like, I think they almost want to see like what it's like on the day-to-day.
Exactly.
I think some people, like when they see it all cleaned up and all too fancy, like it's more like, oh, can I come in? And they're not sure what it's about. But if they just see you working, I think they're more interested
in
just to see you be an artist and a little messy, a little not necessarily together.
And I love talking out loud about like if I'm mixing some colors or something to talk out loud. I'm like, I'm trying to do this.
Oh, yeah.
And I mix this, and you can see the glaze over the face, but they're also very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I love Second Saturdays. Yeah.
Me too.
12 to 5. So get people out here.
Yeah.
Now, you're not new to Sawyer Yards.
Absolutely.
You were at another studio at the Spring Street.
Yes.
The second original building.
Yes.
Kind of been the stepchild. I say that. But you guys, they had it going on. They got
actually,
it going on
Spring
over
Street
there.
Is fantastic. And I miss it dearly.
Yeah.
As much as, I'm loving Winter Street, Spring Street just has a complete, it's a different feel. And it's almost like, I guess if you have two children or two parents, like which one do you love more?
Ooh.
Well, you love them, for different things.
Sure.
I guess it could be like that. It's like I left my mom and now I'm with my dad here at Winter Street. Weird analogy. Anyway, Spring Street
good
is,
it's good.
Spring Street has just a very, I would say, it's kind of like a mix between working artist studio, but also like has a very presentable like gallery level space in general. The hallways are just beautiful. I love the space in which the exhibitions that are put on there by the wonderful Sherry. Mm-hmm. She is amazing. Mm-hmm. She puts on, I mean, the work she does is incredible. And it's come up from when I started there. Those exhibitions weren't as together and as amazing as they are now.
Yeah.
So honestly, that's a big draw.
Yeah.
And no other building has the flexibility that building has for exhibit space.
They have
honestly.
The tank and... Yeah. And the halls.
The halls. It's and really nice. And yeah, and they just, because of Sherry, because of all her work and the trust that management has in her, they give the tenants a lot of flexibility that we unfortunately don't have at the rest of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So I miss that.
Yeah.
Especially.
It's a really
Because my work was always showing there.
How long were you there?
3 years. No.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
About 3 years.
3 years. So
yeah.
You've had a studio for a long
yeah.
time.
Uh-huh.
Getting a studio is a big leap. Was it a big leap for you?
Oh my goodness. Yes, yes. It was like, there's a quote by Fahrenheit 451 author, Ray Bradbury,
okay.
My favorite author.
Okay.
It's and it's misquoted all the time. It's, you know, it's misquoted as like, jump and find your wings on the way down.
Oh.
But I think something a little different. But it's more like that. It's like I jumped and I was either going to crash or fly.
Okay.
I feel like flown,
okay.
or I have flown.
Yes.
So it was like that. It's. I think getting a studio is exactly like that. If you've never had one, or if you've never kind of just jumped into your art career in this fashion, you're either gonna make it or you're gonna break yourself. And
right.
And honestly though, all you have to do is be dedicated and committed,
right.
like a relationship.
Yeah.
You know,
make it.
Yeah, work, mm-hmm. work. That's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because everybody has talent, but if you don't work and the talent just sits there.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people don't have that much talent, but you just work and then you develop a skill.
Right.
So there's talent and skill.
Yeah.
I think I have more skill than talent.
Uh-huh.
I'm talented at being skilled. How's that?
Ah,
I don't feel I was a born artist.
No.
Or that born genius.
Well, people,
you know?
People believe that. I don't believe that at all.
What?
That you're born knowing how to do anything. Like you...
Well, I've seen people with very little training or teaching that can just do it. My brother was one of those.
Right.
He taught himself. Like he could draw from very little. He just had a natural ability to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Same with music.
I always say though that a passion will get you where you want to go, because you're going to be so passionate about it.
Yes.
You're going to seek out resources. You're going to seek out opportunities to grow your skill set.
Right.
And so, yeah. So I think people that tell me, I can't draw a stick. I'm like, you can learn.
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Learn. It is a learned skill.
I agree
100%.
Absolutely.
The first time I realized that, maybe I can learn to draw, because I didn't think I could do it just naturally. I honestly thought it was you either can do it naturally or you'll never be able to.
A lot of people believe
right.
that.
And until I took an art class in high school, and I had a wonderful teacher, Linda Hardy. I still remember her name because of this. She taught from that book, Drawing from the Left Side of the Brain.
Okay.
Or is it Right Side?
Right Side.
Right Side. Anyway, that one. I'm probably backwards.
We're trying to use our left side
right.
today. It's not good.
Leave it to me to have it backwards. Anyway, so from that book, she taught me how it's more about your eye. It has nothing to do with your hands and your skills with your hands. It's how you see things.
Yeah.
And if you let go of your preconceived notions of what something should look like,
exactly.
As long as your eyes are on the subject matter, you will.
Right.
Your hand will do
Don't
what your eyes tell
with
it
your
to.
Brain.
Don't draw with your brain. Yeah,
draw
it's your eyes are drawing.
Yes.
Your hands are not.
I always say I started to draw well just when my eyes got bad. God damn it.
Oops. Well, it's so funny you say that, because you know I do I do a lot of work that's meticulous and detailed, and every once in a while, it's been happening lately more, I'm doodling and my eyes do that shifting, and that's scary because I'm like, oh shit, not now, like don't fail me now.
Yeah.
So I gotta work a lot before this shit goes downhill.
Yeah. Hurry up.
Hurry.
Yeah, I know.
Running out of time.
I started so late.
Yeah,
in
sense
life,
of urgency is absolutely there.
I
feel you.
I know. So we had planned this podcast prior to our artist talk, but you did the artist talk.
Yeah.
I mentioned it in the intro that we have a project right now called Rediscover Winter. People can come to the dock at 11 a.m. prior to the second Saturdays, and we'll take you around. And that's what we did with you. You were one of the premier spokespersons for the artist talk.
Yeah.
And it went really well.
Yes.
I had asked you at that time, I'll ask you again, it's the thing I do on the podcast about whether or not you went to art school. You just tell me you you had an art teacher. It's not Arlinda Hardy.
No, 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 no. Yeah, this was years ago in Harlingen High School, in high school. Okay. And it was just, you know, your elective. Okay. And I was not musically talented, inclined, or anything otherwise. Mm-hmm. Wasn't going to go do woodworking. I'd chop my finger off, probably. So I figured, oh, I like drawing and doodling. I'll do art. But never in a million years. I mean, it was super intimidating, though. I was like, all these other people, they can probably draw. And but, you know, I'm just going to sit here and try and take it in, at least. And, and lo and behold, I mean, honestly, the foundations she set in me are still there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Yeah.
Teachers mean a lot to students.
Yeah, I wish I could find her. I should find her.
You should.
I know.
We have something called the internet.
I know. I've heard of that. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Wrong people find me. And but you, maybe I should find her.
you had mentioned having a lot of support from your husband. And it's always good to have a family that is, you know, in struggle. They understand what it's about.
Well, yeah. And I guess good thing I didn't, like, try to do this when I was young. I could imagine my parents, most of my dad, not being super supportive of me taking on a career that may or may not lead to money,
right?
You know, instead of like getting a real job, quote unquote. So, you know, because my parents, they do not come from a art world. They're not, you know, I would say artistically educated. So I don't know that, and so
that's
neither
okay.
was I.
Right.
So I
don't parents.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were just hard workers.
Place.
Yeah, so
hard
my parents,
workers.
They were hard workers, you know, and wonderful parents, got divorced and all, as you know, a lot of wonderful parents do. It's okay, it was better for everyone.
Yeah.
However, I don't know that they would have been supportive of an artist's career.
Gotcha.
And later in life, I ended up with a partner that was the perfect partner. Although, again, he knows very little about art nor understands it. It doesn't matter, though. Like, he understands me, though, and supports it because it's me. Had I had a different kind of husband that was like, well, you know, you're not making money yet. You know, what are we doing with the studio? Or you got to figure it out. Or this either makes money or doesn't. You know, a typical kind of response to making a leap as having a studio, not knowing necessarily where it'll lead to.
Sure.
And also, you know, he was never seen it as a means of, well, eventually this will pay off.
Yeah.
He has never approached it that way.
Yeah.
Even though in my mind, I better freaking make it pay off because of the sacrifices he's made for me.
Right.
He has never.
You mentioned something in the artist talk, though, that he said he liked.
Yes. The week that I signed the lease, I remember the look on his face when I think I either got out of bed or I was getting ready or something. I must have been walking around with a grin on my face, which I normally don't do. You see me when I'm not smiling purposely, I have like an upside down smile, right? I'm not frowning, but I'm just not smiling. I'm unsmiling.
I have the opposite problem. People
really?
Everybody, I apparently hold my face in a smile and they think
well, it's
I'm
your
happy.
Dimples.
Like,
it's your dimples
miserable.
Are so damn cute. Maybe if I had cute dimples, I would smile more. Anyway, I just don't have a natural tendency. It's tiring.
Oh, yeah.
And see, when I smile, it's all teeth and gums.
Okay.
So it's a lot of muscles being used there.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe I'm just lazy. Anyway, so
visual. Okay.
Right? Yes, in case you hadn't seen me. I must have been uncharacteristically walking around with a grin because he noticed. He said, wow, I really like Happy Studio Monica.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh? He goes, no, this is you. This is you having a studio? Done. Like, he was, like, thrilled. And
sign
and
up.
Yeah, he's like,
sign
I'm so
up.
Happy we did it.
Great.
And would never take that away from me whether we were in the poorhouse. I would give it up before he would. Him knowing how much a part of it is to me to be in this
That's
community.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And honestly, without him, I don't think I would have done it. If I was on my own, paying my bills and being practical, pragmatic, as a typical Capricorn that I am, I would not have done this because I would have seen it as a... like a waste of money.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And would have continued to do it on the side when I could, when I felt the indulgence, the self-indulgence to spend money on paint or canvas or whatever.
It's a sacrifice.
Absolutely.
To have a studio.
But he's never seen it as that. He has never seen
That's
it as
wonderful.
A financial sacrifice.
You know, I didn't get you to pronounce your last name. You know I didn't do it well.
Oh, my last name?
Say it.
Melgar?
Melgar.
Okay, so you're French?
Yeah.
Okay, so you should be able to say my name easy.
Melgar.
So, well, first say Monica.
Monica.
There you go. And then Melgar.
Melgar.
Oh, so you're trying to do it with your throat. Do it with your tongue. Melgar.
Melgar.
Uh-oh.
That's
so funny.
No, that's another visual.
Okay.
okay, let's get back to the art. Okay, so yes. You tell me, what about when you start a painting, you have a good series, like everything speaks to each other, I think. When do you have a design in your head, you make the drawing?
Good question. It's funny. Almost every single one of my paintings is inspired by a doodle. You know, a lot of artists, I think, sketch things out first. And actually, I should stop calling them doodles. I looked up the definition of doodle, and not verbatim, but it says something to the effect of it's something you do, you know, like just to kind of draw and make little marks that is to distract you. But you're not thinking about it. You're actually paying attention to something else. But honestly, it's the other way around for me.
I
kind of tune things out, and it started in high school. I would tune out my teachers because, so the reason I would get distracted, again, with my parents' choices of moving around, they were like gypsies, but they weren't gypsies. We moved a lot. When I lived in Mexico, I studied, or I took classes. In Mexico, you take physics, geometry, chemistry, biology, and all that for 3 years in middle school. Instead of 1 year crammed into 1 year of high school like they do here. So by the time I got to high school here, which is when we moved back, I'd already done a lot of these science-y and more advanced classes. So in those classes, I would be bored, you know. I would be super bored. And unlike most of my my girlfriends that would like write little notes and pass them to each other, I would doodle. I wasn't that kind of girl.
I was that same person. But I think they've actually got some science too, doodling or... I've been in some classes recently where the they would give us mandalas to color. They're like, you can color through the class. I'm like, oh, I saved my sketchbook pages that I brought with me. I've learned. I'm not coming here not prepared. But because they said it kind of quiets the mind in such a way that you can actually absorb it.
And you're absorbing it, I think, without an intention to absorb it.
Subconscious.
And so that your mind doesn't wander off into other subjects. It's kind of doing this and paying attention to that. And I think it did help in the way where I would catch things like when there's a test or if they said something dumb and I wanted to correct the teacher or something. That would happen. Anyway. So, but the doodling also, I believe it calms my nerves. I have a lot of energy, and it comes out of my hands.
I see that.
And so, I don't know. Someone told me it's like a form of OCD to constantly have your hands busy, and you can't calm them down. So doodling, I have to have my hands on something.
Me too.
I'm watching TV, I can't just sit and watch TV. Otherwise, I might pick my nails or, or you know, I don't know, bother my cat or.
I think that's a very common characteristic of art.
Your hands need an outlet.
I love watching movies, but and I like watching foreign movies where, but I'm like, no, I can't watch a foreign movie because my eyes aren't going to really be on it.
Exactly.
I need to just be able to listen to what's going on.
Yes, I listen to TV.
And
I don't watch as much.
That's why I started podcasts, because I'll get the podcast going in the studio and I'll be painting, but I'll be hearing a story. I got that same busybody monkey brain situation.
So it's almost like you have a bunch of, a lot of things going on in my brain. And when I doodle, they all kind of collapse into what I need it to, and I'm there.
Into the zen.
There you go. Yeah.
So you paint in acrylic or oil, or what is your medium?
Mostly in acrylic. I've been experimenting lately with... Okay, so the teacher from high school, after she taught us to draw, then the first painting or the first paint technique I used was learned was watercolor. She was an amazing watercolorist. And I have rediscovered watercolor again because they have these watercolor inks that are, they're just very bright in color.
Very stainy, but
flowy-y.
And so
they're not opaque, but they're also not totally transparent. So there's beautiful colors, and I can do a lot of my fine, super fine, like line work that I like to do with markers. I can do it with super fine brush strokes. So I've been experimenting a lot with that.
You have some major brush, really fine. Like, I'd be shaking.
I can do that. It's just from doing it constantly.
You have a lot of posts on Facebook. I think you post some of your doing it, and I'm like, wow. So that's pretty cool. What is your Facebook? How can people find you?
So with my name and then with the word art. So Monica Melgar Art.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have a website with the same?
I have a website that is exactly the same thing, monicamelgarart.com.
Instagram?
And Instagram, Monica Melgar art. All the same. All the same. I'm trying to focus on my branding and all that. And I have a hashtag that I'm trying to take over. It's Melgar with a T. Melgart.
Huh. Cute.
Okay. I just realized it's a year ago. I'm like, duh. Like, it's been there all this time. So, hello. So I took it.
Good for you.
So I took the hashtag.
Okay, everybody check out Melgart.
Melgart.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can see her doing those doodles, which are not doodles. They're designs. I think they're designs.
Yes, it's like a design. Absolutely. Yeah. So you asked, do I think of the image before? Mm-hmm. And got on a tangent, as usual. So I start with the doodle. And then my doodles inspire some, you know, I'll see a doodle and think, oh, that might look good on a painting. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll think that, and then I'll, you know, kind of prepare the canvas. And then when I go to start something, I may have somewhat of something in mind, and then something else happens. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how. I'm like, well, I thought I was going to do this. So I'll turn into that. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. Mm-hmm. It starts with something. But I've... This is also kind of therapeutic, kind of like the doodling, is I've learned to not intend so hard or not mm-hmm. try to control so hard and remove ego and just kind of see, I don't know, I've just tried to not try so hard.
Great.
And honestly, those are the pieces that I like the most. I've made pieces where I've intended to represent something with mm-hmm. in an abstract form. Like, I'll give you a good example. Two dear friends of mine were going to get married, or they're married now. But as a wedding present, I was like, oh, I'm going to make this abstract piece of two energies coming together and swirling and incorporating the two colors of it. Oh my God, I look at it now, I'm like, ooh, don't put my name on that. No, and I gave it to them. Oh. Told me how awesome it was, but they love me.
They were super kind.
They were super kind, and they love me, and I love them. However, the pieces that work the best are the ones that I didn't intend anything. And yet, when I go back to look at them and reflect on what my life was, mm-hmm. it did mean something. It just came subconsciously.
Yes, yes. It's good. And so that's more fulfilling, to let it flow that way for you.
Right, to not try anything other than to make it pretty.
Right now. I mean, as a realist, representation. Oh. I have to plan. You know, you don't want your portrait to end up not looking like the person, so I have to have that plan.
Right.
But in that process, it gets too tight. So that's where I am. I'm trying to be a little bit looser.
Yeah, because
with the process and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
And I don't. There's a la prima. There's a style of painting a la prima where you just paint like as you see it, like in a
like literal
quick in a quick setting.
Oh, okay. Bam, bam, bam.
Quick strokes, few strokes, that type
like that?
Of thing. But that one, correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can do that. I mean, I don't normally do that. I'd rather tighten it up. You know what I mean? So it's a struggle.
So you're trying to get the in between. The letting go and it representing correctly.
So, I like this tight painting, but it could be.
But you could go on forever until it's perfect.
Oh my God!
Right? And are you a control freak?
Huh?
Huh? What? Huh?
So you have something really exciting going on right now, and as I do, I'm part of the collaborative show.
Yes.
That's going to be the Come Together show. That's part of the Sawyer Yards. The opening is May 12th, and everyone's invited. It is in the Winter Street building.
Whoop whoop whoop.
May 12th opening, 6 to 9 or something.
Imagine. 6 to 9.
And everybody should come out for that show. Tell me what your pieces are going to be about and who you have collaborated with.
So I am so freaking excited about this. Mm-hmm. This exhibition, just this whole idea of mm-hmm. artists working together that hadn't worked together and getting yourself out of a comfort zone because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'd never worked with anyone. And I am a tiny bit of a control freak, so to allow mm-hmm. somebody else's hand on something I've made mm-hmm. was, you know what though? In my mind, I thought it was gonna be, oh my God, no, can I do that? But then when it happened, I was like, what's the big freaking deal?
It was
like so dumb. It was more like it was in my head that I thought it would. Mm-hmm. I had made something.
It's gonna ruin my style.
No, not so much ruin. It's like, what are they gonna do with it?
Oh, okay.
Like, do I trust them? It's like leaving your child for the first time with a stranger.
Oh gosh.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like I love their work.
I know.
But it's somebody else's hand. It's like somebody doing the dishes in your kitchen. I don't know if you're like, I hate if somebody does dishes in my kitchen. Like, no, you're not doing it right.
Actually, Ken, come to your house because I promise you I'm never going to want to wash the dishes.
Okay, good. I just, because nobody will do them.
So you are working with April Murphy.
April Murphy.
April is yet to come on the podcast. I've been asking her for a long time. She's busy.
You should get her and I together. It'll be fun. Anyway, so it happened to be that April Murphy and I decided to, I can't remember who asked who. Okay. I don't know. I think, I don't even know if it was a question. It's almost like when the call went out, it was almost like, yeah, duh. I don't remember either of us asking other than like just assuming, okay. which made sense.
Yeah.
Right? And when I guess when I made a background that she said, hey, do one of your backgrounds and then I'll see what happens. I think we talked about it, but weren't exactly sure what we were going to do. Mm-hmm. We had ideas.
Yeah.
And then it went a slightly different direction of what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness, because we just kind of let it happen, the result in my mind is...
It is.
I never imagined that...
It's great.
That, I mean, and I love her work, mm-hmm. and I love my work, but yeah. together, it's just so... It's so fantastic. It's almost like just taking the best of two... It's like a hybrid of work, you know? You yes. take the best of what I can bring and the best of what you... And then together, done.
It really works.
It's double awesome.
It's beautiful. And it's a big piece. It's yeah. not the typical of either of you. You both extended yourselves into
Absolutely.
A bigger piece of work. You're going to have three pieces at the show.
Yes.
Are they all the same size?
Two of them will be the big size that you okay. already saw. Mm-hmm. That's like a 7 by... No.
Yikes.
No, the one you saw, is it 7 or 6?
Wow.
I don't know. It's either 7 or 6 feet by 4. Ish.
Sweet.
I don't know, it's big.
It's
so there'll be two that size, and then the third one will be, it's a square format, so it's going to be a different format, and it'll be at least, it'll probably either three of the set, mm-hmm. the third one.
Big-ish.
And mm-hmm. The third one is going to be a different take on a combination of our techniques. So the fact that when you work with someone I think that you never have, it kind of opens you up to new possibilities of your own work when you're working on by yourself.
Great.
Is what it's done to both of us, I
right.
see.
Yeah.
Because this has gotten her on a kind of new tangent
yes.
of work that every time I see her new work now, I see the difference and I see the growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I feel so special
oh.
and humbled by being a part of it.
It's wonderful.
You know, that she allowed me to join her in this
yeah.
journey. So I can't wait to see everyone else's work.
I can't either. It's going to really be fantastic.
Yes.
I, at this point in time, do not have any finished pieces. But when this podcast broadcasts, I will have all my pieces.
Absolutely.
Hopefully. And the show is May 12th. So
well, I'll tell you what. I will attribute it to April Murphy's organizational skills and her management skills.
She's good at that.
Mm-hmm. Is she has kept me, and I told her this, though. So this is good also for me. When you admit your weaknesses and to the people who can help you with them, And she knows me, and I was like, hey, keep me on track, because I will be there one night before trying to finish something.
I had a collaborator this morning talking to me like that, just let me talk, and so she went on, because she's got a lot of other things going on,
right?
And she's, because we haven't started, and she's like, and I said, I understand where you're coming from, so from that, we strategized on something to do.
Right.
The wonderful thing about your collaboration is you've already sold one of those paintings. That's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Great. It's been, they're being received. Well, the previews of the first one has been received so well that I just can't wait to do more and more. And who knows what this will lead to. You know?
Who knows?
It's just the beginning.
Keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Monica, I really appreciate you coming and talking. We had a good time, as I knew we would.
Thank you.
And you are a vibrant person on a, you know, every day that I meet you.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to talk to you. And so
well,
I really appreciate you being
you
here.
You finally did it.
You did it.
Yeah, we.
And
yeah.
so hopefully we will have a really good time at our collaborative show.
Oh, absolutely.
And tell your friends about the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to say thank you so much. Thank you for doing this for the artist of So Your Yards.
Yeah.
It's just another one. There's so much here at So Your Yards.
Yeah.
I feel so lucky to be a part of it, to have
sure.
people like you doing this.
Sure.
There's so much that we're not taking advantage of the quantity of artists and the quality of artists that we have here.
I know.
That it's like, we're going to put New York to shame in one day.
Absolutely.
We've got our own thing going on. I think it's just, I love it.
We just have to get it out there.
Get it out there. Absolutely. Share it with the world.
Artists of Houston.
Artists of Houston, y'all.
Whoop.
Awesome.
See you, baby.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Monica, for being on the podcast. I am
very excited that you're in the building. So reminding everyone, every second Saturday, 12 to 5, we are open. The market is going on outside, and all the buildings are available to peruse the studios and check out all the artwork. The Spring Street, Sabine Street, and Summer Street buildings are open 2 to 7. So it is a full day. Again, I want to thank everyone that is part of the podcast. And if you have a favorite artist that you would like me to talk to, please send their names in and I will approach them and get them on the podcast. Again, Monica, thank you so much for being here. We'll see everyone May 12th at the Collaborative show opening. It will hang through the summer, but come to the party May 12th. Take care. Stay cool.